right, here we are. Welcome to the Stronger Stride podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited to be chatting to you today. Now, by the time you are listening to this, you will know what the episode is called, but at this moment in time, I'm not quite sure what to call it. Basically, the way that this came about was I was doing some Googling around kind of the most common questions that get asked in terms of anything running related. So I typed in, why does running? And the first thing that came up was, why does running make you poop? Now, I thought, great question. I know that gastrointestinal problems are very common among runners, particularly ultra runners, marathon runners, even down to the 10 and 5K. It can be a bit of a worry on race day if you have not figured out your gastrointestinal movements prior to the race. Now, if you're someone new to running, you might be thinking, what is going on? What is she talking about? If you are a seasoned runner, you'll know exactly what I mean. So we are talking all about gastrointestinal problems in runners. Why do runners come across these problems? What are the reasons or potential causes? And what can we actually do about it? So what kind of strategies can we implement to make our running a little bit more comfortable, make it a little bit less stressful, and keep things moving, but not moving too much, if you know what I mean. So we're going to go through three of the main categories. Now, there's a couple of hypotheses, a couple of theories, some ideas that have been thrown around about this. I couldn't find a definite reason, but there seems to be a number of things that could be contributing to this. And there are also, thankfully, a number of things that we can do about it to increase our comfort and minimize our gastrointestinal problems. Now, we're just going to say GI because that is a lot easier than gastrointestinal. So, number one, the first category of reasons why we might experience GI issues as runners are the physiological components. So what is actually going on within our GI system? What's going on within our stomach, our intestines? What's happening physiologically in terms of our hormones and all of those kind of systems and processes? So something that I came across quite commonly was a thing called splanchnic hypoperfusion. Now, I could be absolutely butchering that first word. I'm not quite sure how you say it, but splanchnic is what we're going with. And basically, splanchnic is I can't say that word without laughing. It is basically just the organs within the abdomen. So things like our stomach, our intestines, our spleen, gallbladder, liver, those kind of things. Now, hypoperfusion basically just means low blood flow. So all this means is that we're not getting enough blood flow to the organs in our abdomen, which are the organs that are digesting and processing our food. Hence, we feel a little bit funny in the tummy, okay? So this kind of makes a lot of sense, right? We know that when we're exercising, our muscles are screaming out for oxygen and nutrients and energy to keep us going. So the way that our body does this is sends a lot more blood flow to those areas, so to our quads and hammies and glutes and calves and whatever other muscles are working, to keep them working and to keep us moving forward. Now, because of this, some of our other systems, such as our immune system and digestive system, so our GI system, they suffer a little bit, not getting as much blood flow as usual. And there was a paper that suggested that in a normal rested situation, if we're just sitting around at home, 1.5 liters of blood per minute to our splanchnic system, so to those abdominal organs. So we're getting about 1.5 liters of blood per minute at rest all the time, right? When we're just relaxing. Then when we reach our maximal exercise, so if we are running a marathon as hard as we can, if we're doing a 5K PB, whatever it might be, this number then drops down to about 0.3 liters per minute. So we go from about 1.5 liters of blood per minute going through this system all the way down to 0.3 liters per minute. Okay. So if you visualize our system requiring blood for it to function well, if we then strip that right down, so we're taking about 1.2 liters, I don't know the maths, but it's a big percentage decrease of blood going to this area, therefore it can't function as well. Okay. So really, really kind of simple thing to understand. I think we don't really need to understand how this is going on, but if we just imagine blood flow to an area means that it can work well, when we've got reduced blood flow to an area, it can't work so well. The other thing that plays into this and I guess exacerbates this is our dehydration. So if we're doing a really long run in the heat, if we haven't drunk enough water or had enough electrolytes, this dehydration then further contributes to having less blood flow to this area, okay? So because our blood vessels have to constrict a little bit more, we might have less blood volume, so less blood moving around our system, we're not getting as much flowing to these areas. So the dehydration is definitely something that we want to think about, and we will talk about this later when we talk about strategies on how to overcome this and how to minimize the effect that these systems or this issue has on our GI function. So there's some other studies to show that this Splanchnik blood flow might be reduced by about 80% so that we can provide sufficient blood flow to the muscles and the skin. So we've also got to think about our skin in this situation. Our muscles, of course, are screaming out for oxygen to keep things moving, but we're also sweating a lot. So our skin is requiring a lot more blood flow, and the vessels might be dilated to get some more of that heat out of the body a little bit quicker. So things are kind of changing. Things are different parts of the body are needing more energy and more effort and more blood flow. So our digestive system suffers. We also have a thing called gastric emptying, which is simply just the kind of removal of things from the stomach into the next part of the digestive system, which is the duodenum. So normally when we're at rest, this is functioning really well, it's emptying as needed, but when we're exercising, particularly at a more maximal intensity, this gastric emptying process can be reduced by up to half, okay? So we're not able to process things as quickly and as efficiently as normal, okay? So they're kind of our main physiological reasons. We've got less blood flow to our abdominal organs, we've got potential dehydration, which is going to further exacerbate this issue, we've also got less of that gastric emptying, so things aren't quite functioning how they normally would. Now, our second group of potential causes are our mechanical issues or mechanical components. Now, one of these things being impact, right? So just purely from us bouncing up and down. When we run, we're not kind of just, you know, I'm imagining someone on a scooter, they're just traveling at the same height and they're just moving along, and maybe they might go over a speed bump every now and then, but they're not really rattling around too much, whereas we are bouncing up and down all the time. There was a really interesting term in one of the papers. They called it the mechanical effect of intra-abdominal jostling, which I thought was quite a good visual. So we're just imagining everything within our abdomen bouncing up and down all over the place. Now you can imagine if you got a bunch of food in a big container and you swished it all around, things wouldn't be flowing as they normally would, and it's going to affect how we process and digest these things, okay? So we have to think about the actual impact. There's some studies to show that cyclists have less GI problems than runners, and the hypothesis there is simply to do with the impact and also potentially some postural changes as well. So cyclists tend to have more issues higher up in their GI tract, so more around kind of their esophagus, whereas us runners tend to have problems further down, and they're hypothesizing that this is due to our different postures. So if you're someone who runs a little bit more hunched over, maybe you kind of compress through your abdomen or compress through your chest a little bit more, you might have some exacerbated symptoms here. So thinking about standing up nice and tall, opening up your chest a little bit, could potentially have a very small impact on these things, combined with some other strategies we'll talk about soon. All right, so we've got physiological, we've got mechanical. Now our final area or final category is nutritional. Now this is the one that we can really have a good effect on. This is the one we can play around with. We can manipulate different variables. We can try different things. And now I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian. This is simply just me doing some research around what can we do to change these issues and what sort of strategies could we potentially implement. Now, most of these things are a bit of trial and error. That's the thing. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different GI system. Everybody has different tolerances in terms of which foods they can handle, which allergies they might have. Some people can handle dairy, some people can't, gluten, you know, there are just an endless number of things that vary within our digestive system and our ability to absorb and use and tolerate different foods. So this is by no means going to be a meal plan or an exact guideline. These are more just some general principles and things for us to start to think about. Okay, so there are a couple of food groups that have been shown to contribute or exacerbate these symptoms a little bit more than others. And these include things such as fiber, fat, fructose, and protein. So these are kind of our main food groups that we're thinking about when looking at potential contributing factors. So the fiber one, that is kind of our non-digestible carbohydrates. So things like certain fruits and vegetables, legumes, seeds and nuts, wholemeal pastas and breads and those kinds of things. They are sort of what we're talking about there with the fiber. Now, in general, in a normal, healthy diet, these things are totally normal and encouraged in most diets, but we're just talking more about what are we thinking about in specific race situations or training situations. So we're thinking about immediately pre-race and during race, what type of things should we avoid? This is not talking about your day-to-day diet, your everyday breakfast, lunch, and dinner that you have throughout a normal week. This is simply just in direct relation to a training session or a race, okay? So fiber, number one. Then we've got fat and protein. So these are obviously two of our big macronutrients that would normally make up a large majority of our diet in combination with carbohydrates. But immediately before or during a race, probably not the best idea. We also have fructose here. Now, fructose is a form of sugar. It's a monosaccharide, so a very simple sugar that's kind of readily available. And it comes from fruit. And it can potentially increase our risk of GI issues. Now, you'll know that a lot of different gels and energy products contain often multiple different sources of carbohydrates. Now, if we have multiple transportable carbohydrate sources, this has been shown to, number one, get absorbed a little bit better and used a little bit better because they've got kind of different pathways that they're following. Therefore, we've got more access to them. But also, it tends to reduce these GI upset issues. So some of the newer gels that are coming out have got, you know, things like glucose and sucrose or dextrose or a number of different sources of carbohydrates all in there mixed together so that it can be better absorbed and used a little bit more comfortably. So that's something to think about in terms of fructose. So fiber, fat, protein, and fructose are a couple of key things to look out for. I just spoke about our multiple transportable carbohydrates. They're worth trying. Now, nitric oxide is something else that comes up quite a lot in more recent research. And basically the thinking here to do with our GI and digestive system specifically is if we've got low blood flow and we've got limited blood going to our splanchnic area, our organs, our stomach, intestines, then potentially if we could use something like nitric oxide, which has been shown to increase our vasodilation, so improve our blood flow, then potentially this could help with increasing the blood flow to this area and therefore helping aid our digestive system and reducing any of our GI issues. So it's a new one. It's potentially worth playing around with. We don't have a lot of evidence on it just yet, but it is a bit of a theory that is being spoken more about more recently. Now, again, in terms of nutrition, we have spoken about this briefly, but dehydration is definitely something to think about when you're looking at your nutrition, and being really well hydrated is going to help your system function a little bit better. You're going to increase the blood flow because we're going to have more water volume, therefore more plasma volume, therefore more blood volume in our system, meaning it can kind of get moved around a little bit easier. So dehydration is something we really want to try and avoid. It is often inevitable in ultra races unless we are super, super on top of it and drinking way more than we probably feel like. But it's really, really important to try and get these numbers or the amount of water and electrolytes you're consuming to be as much as you can kind of handle within reason. So they are the key nutritional aspects to think about. Now we're going to talk about some strategies that you can implement or play around with or trial to try and work out what's going on with your own situation and system and figure out if there are some things that you can change that will make you feel more comfortable on race day. Now, number one, we speak about this all the time. You should know this by now, but don't try anything new on race day. So we really want to make sure that we're practicing regularly our nutritional strategies. So even if it feels like we might not need them, you know, maybe you're going out for a 1 hour run and you typically wouldn't train with water or carbohydrates or gels or potatoes or whatever you're going to be using. Typically you wouldn't need them for that duration, but it can be worth trialing it even on those shorter runs to get your body accustomed to and comfortable with your nutrition strategy. So there's been some studies that show that even if there are no actual functional or mechanical or physiological changes within our gut, just purely practicing these strategies regularly will help to increase our tolerance and I guess the comfortability of taking on these things. So there might not actually be a change that goes on, but your body gets more used to it and more comfortable with it, and it is a great idea to be practicing regularly. So that would be tip number one. Do not try anything new on race day. Now, if you've got a race plan next week and you're only just discovering all of these things, then don't go out and buy a whole new heap of gels. Whatever you've been using, if it's been working, stick with that plan. Don't try anything crazy. But if you've got a race in 3, 6, 12 months, then it might be worth playing around with a few different strategies to make things as most comfortable and most optimal for you. All right, so that is number one. Number two, we want to try to eliminate any suspect foods and then potentially slowly reintroduce them one at a time. So while we're saying, you know, trial lots of things, practice with things regularly, that doesn't mean go and get a energy gel from Goo and a Cliff Block from Cliff and some Tailwind and what else? Some salt tabs and a waffle and a sandwich and try all these things all on the same run. Because if something goes wrong, if you have an upset stomach and you don't feel great, it's going to be really, really tricky to really isolate which thing was the cause. It's going to be hard for you to know. And you might end up throwing all of those things out of the window when potentially it was only just one of those things that caused the issue. So when you're starting to implement these new strategies into your training, it's a really, really good idea to start with one thing at a time. Or if there's something that you know works for you, you've tried it before, then maybe you can add something new in. So for me personally, I've run with Tailwind on hundreds of runs before. I know it works. I never have any problems. So I could run with Tailwind as normal, but if I wanted to get some more electrolytes in or get some more carbohydrates in or some more water or whatever it was, I could then add that new thing, one new thing on top of what I'm already doing, see how my body responds to that. And if that's going well, then potentially I can add the next new thing and going one by one. The same way that we're adding one thing at a time, we also want to kind of eliminate one thing at a time or reduce our starting point so that we can really nail down what thing works and what doesn't work. Okay. So remembering when we're thinking about eliminating any suspect foods, there are a few key things to look at that might be worth crossing out completely and then potentially reintroducing and seeing how you feel. So those things such as fiber, fructose, proteins, and fats, we kind of want to be avoiding generally within an hour to two before our run and during our run. Now, again, everyone's individual. You might have your own plan. You might be on a keto diet or something like that where you're eating mostly proteins and fats, so you might have a totally different plan. But in general, these things are commonly associated with our GI issues. There's also some evidence to show that large doses of vitamin C, sodium bicarb drinks might not be the best idea, and I'm imagining this is to do with kind of increasing gas within your GI system. So that's another one to think about. We also have a couple of foods that are gas forming, which is a funny way to describe them, but basically things like broccoli, onions, beans, anything like that can be a little bit triggering as well. So just having a look at your general food, you know, if you've got a long run planned in the morning, maybe save your broccoli for the night of the run once you've finished the run. Maybe don't have it the night before if you know that that is something that triggers you. And this is why we kind of need to trial and error things. We need to figure out what works for us. And this is not at all a diet plan, just giving you some information to think about. What else have we got here? So tip number three, trying to increase the time between eating and training. So if we can, ideally, now not every situation allows for this, but for example, if I was doing my long run at 7 o'clock on a Sunday, could I get up at 5 a.m. and have my meal? And that will allow it to have a little bit more time to digest and be processed rather than just eating it straight away before I run. Now, you could argue if you're someone who is training for an ultra marathon and you're going to be eating while on the run, then there's definitely some merit to eating immediately before you run so that you can get your body used to dealing with that. Okay, so we know that our body struggles to digest things while we're running because we know that there's less blood flow to the area. So this is going to be quite challenging. It's probably going to feel quite uncomfortable. So I would start small. I would start maybe further away. So, you know, start at that 2-hour window. And then can you bring that forward maybe to 90 minutes out, maybe an hour out? Can you kind of reduce your portion size or have something that's a little bit more easy to digest so that it's a little bit easier on the system? Play around with a few different strategies. But ideally, increasing that time between eating and training. So 2-hour window is ideal, but that's not always practical. And of course, that concept is kind of irrelevant when we are doing an event that requires us to eat during the run, because we're going to be eating and running at the same time anyway. You can experiment with maybe some liquid meals. So looking at things like Tailwind mixed with water, that's got your carbohydrates and electrolytes in it, plus you get the water for extra hydration. You could look at maybe doing a smoothie, just being mindful of the fiber content and the fructose content in there, but maybe something, with a banana, maybe some water, maybe a little bit of, what else could you put in? Maybe some oats or things like that. Keeping it relatively easy to digest, keeping it relatively carbohydrate heavy with less of those proteins and fats if we are having it immediately prior to our event. Now, there was one tip that I saw in one of the research articles that I thought the wording was so funny. Try to evacuate before exercise. Now, I love the term evacuate, and I think that's what I'm just going to use from now on. So making sure you're going to the bathroom before you run is always ideal. Avoiding dehydration, we've spoken about this, keeping up on top of our fluids. And then if you can, kind of in combination with this, when you are taking on water, can you have some multiple carbohydrate sources mixed in with this water? Or could you take your gel on with the water at the same time? This will help things to be more easily absorbed. Plus, you're increasing your hydration. Plus, you're getting more carbohydrates and energy on board at the same time. Cool. All right. I think that is it. So just as a bit of a recap, we've got a couple of different potential causes and risk factors for our GI upset issues. We have our physiological, which is our splanchnik. That's everyone's new word for you. Splanchnik. If anyone knows how to pronounce it, let me know. Hypoperfusion, so low blood flow to our digestive organs. We've got dehydration contributing to this. We've got less gastric emptying. We've got some mechanical differences, so that impact, the bouncing up and down, that intra-abdominal jostling, as we'll call it, maybe some postural effects. And then nutritional, we've got a couple of key components or key types of foods that might increase our risk, such as fiber, fat, fructose, and protein. We want to be taking on multiple transportable carbohydrates in different forms, ideally mixed with some water as well. Potential help from nitric oxide could be useful. Training our gut, so making sure that we're used to taking on the things we're taking on before race day, can be very helpful. And also potentially trying to avoid anti-inflammatories or aspirin, as these have been shown to increase our GI upset issues as well. So there's plenty of homework for you. There's plenty of things to try out, see what works for you. I think variety is really helpful, but making sure that we're kind of specific and intentional and organized with our variety, not just throwing a whole heap of things all in one go and then not really knowing what works and what doesn't work, but being kind of, ticking off one thing at a time, trying out some different options. So hopefully that's helpful for you. I think it's really interesting. I think it's definitely something that I hear a lot of runners talk about that they struggle with. So if you are one of those runners now, hopefully your next run will be a little bit more comfortable and you won't be freaking out at the start line that you're going to have to stop halfway through the run. So thank you so much. I'm going to be answering some more of Google's most common questions. I'll give you a couple of teasers actually while we're here. There was one that came up about why does running make you feel good? And I've been doing some research around this and super interesting. So obviously the endorphin theory, but we've also got some thermogenic hypotheses. So talking about the changes in temperature and how that affects our brainstem and therefore our relaxation. We've got some changes with our mitochondria. What else have we got? The mastery and self-efficacy hypotheses. We've got some endogenous endocannabinoids. Basically something within our body that is similar to cannabis that relaxes our system. So some really interesting research coming out around that. We've also got how to run faster. We've got running for weight loss, which is not quite how it sounds, but basically running for weight loss is a really common thing that gets Googled. So I really want to discuss that and break that down. There's so many questions and I find it all really interesting. I think it's cool to know what people are thinking about and what people aren't sure about and what kind of questions people want more clarification on, because I'm sure if it's trending on Google, then there's probably a few of you listening who would have thought about the same sort of things as well. So I think it'll be relevant for you. I think it'll be helpful. I think it'll be nice for us all to learn together. But if you have any specific questions around your own training, around your own racing, around any injuries or anything like that, please send them through. I'm always happy to do my best, and Lydia is as well, in helping you guys out. And if we don't know the answers, we will try and find the answers. And if we can't find the answers, we will find someone who knows them. So please, any questions at all, there are no silly questions, send them all through. Now, before I wrap up, I'm just going to give you a bit of a training update, a bit of a life update, let you know some things that are happening, some events that are coming up, and what's been going on with my own training. So first thing is first, Tararua 50K training has kicked off as of this week. So I am following a program from Tim Locke from the Distance Collective, which I'm super excited about because, number one, I'm keen to not think about my training and just be able to look at the app on my phone and see, okay, cool, this is the run I've got today, let's go to get this done, rather than trying to, you know, calculate how many Ks do I need to do for the week, what sort of sessions do I need to do, how many hours should I be running for, how far should my long run be, all those questions. I spend most of my 9-to-5 job programming for people, whether that's running programs or strength programs, and it's nice just to not have to do it for myself. It's one less thing to think about. I think I'm really trying to maximize my brain space, and my own training was taking up too much of my brain space that I wanted to devote to other things. So I have passed the baton on to Tim. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really enjoying it so far, only a couple days in, but I have looked ahead at some of the runs planned and I'm really excited to have the structure to follow and have some accountability and yeah, just have a lot of focus and drive towards Tararua, which is still reasonably far away. It's February next year, so I'm keen to just be kind of focused on that for the next few months and not get too distracted with any other events or races. But speaking of other events and races, I am doing the GNW 30K, which will be a week after this comes out, the 28th or 29th, I think. And just doing that for a bit of a social training run. It's organized by the Terrigal Trotters, who were the first kind of running club that I ran with, so a bit of nostalgia for me there. It's also on the Central Coast where I grew up, so a lot of reasons for me to go there and do it. And I feel like 30Ks is just a nice distance. It's long enough to feel like a challenge, but not so long that I'm just going to be wiped out for the next week. So really, really looking forward to that. I think it'll be a nice course, Patonga to Kirakul and back. And yeah, just keen to catch up with people and enjoy the day. So that's next Sunday. And then a couple of other things that are happening that I'm keen to let you guys know about and see if you can tag along. We have just started a bit of a partnership with Fishbowl and the Pace Athletic Run Club on a Thursday night. So if anyone's been on the fence about coming along to a Thursday night run club, now is your motivation. As of next Thursday, the 26th, we're going to be partnering with Fishbowl and we're going to have $10 bowls. So free run plus $10 dinner. I think that is just a winning combination for a Thursday night. So if you haven't already joined us, please come along. It'll be fantastic to have you there. Second thing is on November the 11th, there's going to be a Lululemon run, which I'll be leading with the Lulu Chatswood and Lulu Mossman Stores, I believe. We're going to do some running on the Saturday and then some yoga on the Sunday, and this is all part of the Movember and More Than a Run initiative, which is happening this year. So that will be on the 11th and the 12th. And then on the 26th of November, we have the Movember More Than a Run. Now there's a 10K, a 30K, and a 60K. The details are still being finalized, but basically I think the plan is we'll be finishing around midday in Centennial Park to have a bit of a barbecue and hang out and catch up. And pretty much from there, prior to that finish line, you can start your run wherever and whenever you like and can finish in Centennial Park with the rest of us. Or if you're not local to Sydney, you can do your own route and we can hang out virtually. Keep us up to date with your runs on Instagram. But yeah, I think it's going to be so much fun. I think it was, yeah, one of my favorite running events from last year. It was really nice to just have everyone finish together. We didn't all start together, but it was really nice to all come together at the end. And there was no winners, there was no competition. It was literally just purely for connecting, for mental health, for running, for community, all those really good things. So if you're keen to get involved, send us a message. I'll be probably doing a run from the North Shore, probably a 20K loop, and then basically 10Ks over to Centennial Park to finish, but details are to be finalized soon. I'm thinking we'll start from North Sydney, maybe do two 10K laps and then across the bridge, but we'll let you know. Otherwise, we'll see you in Centennial Park at the finish line. So that is November the 26th. So that we have next weekend's GNW. The 11th is the Lulu kind of social morning run. The 26th is the Movember More Than a Run. And I think they are my main updates for you. We have got some socks coming along. We had some samples come through that aren't exactly what we'd hoped. So we're just chasing up a different supplier now for that. So if anyone has any sock supplier recommendations, please send them our way. We'd be very keen to, yeah, get some socks on your feet. But yeah, I think that's all from me. I hope you guys are well. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Thank you for being here and listening and following along. We would really love if you could rate and review and subscribe. Also, if you take a photo of where you are while you're listening to this and put it on your story and tag us, that would be so nice. We love seeing those photos come through. So keep them up. And thank you to our wonderful sponsors. We've got Tailwind Nutrition, who gave us a lovely discount code, which you can click below for some nutrition. And I think right now is obviously the perfect time after we've just discussed how important carbohydrates and hydration are. Who else have we got? We've got some skincare from Scorcher Skincare. So that's our sunscreen, 50 plus organic sunscreen. It's fantastic. And a discount for Vivo Barefoot Shoes as well. So click those links, enjoy those discounts. It supports us and supports you and supports some great brands. So it's a win, win, win. All right. Thank you so much, team. We will speak to you in the next one. Lydia will be back. Don't you worry. She will be here and you won't have to listen to me every week. All right. Thanks, team.